Several nations have been offering physician-assisted suicide to terminally ill patients for several years, but now it appears that some European countries are taking a frightening new direction when it comes to terminating human life. Here to fill us in on that is Dr. David Stevens, the president of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Good morning, Dr. Stevens. How are you?
Good to be with you, Bill. How are you?
Good. I should warn our listeners, this is not a very pleasant topic, but I believe it's something that Christians need to be aware of and actively involved in. To begin with, can you give us a little bit of background on the physician-assisted suicide movement in European countries?
Well, it's actually been around in Holland since the early 70s. There was a woman, physicians, whose mother was terminally ill, and she gave her a lethal injection, went to court, and the court said it was a compassionate act. That was in the mid-70s, and from that time on, it was tolerated. In the early 80s in Holland, they put up some criteria very similar to what's being used in Oregon, Washington, California, and Vermont, a waiting period, two doctors looking at it, that type of thing. Within a few years, they realized that, well, wait a minute, what about people who are going to suffer longer, those with chronic diseases? They may not be terminally ill, but they're going to suffer more. Don't they deserve it? And they begin to allow it for chronic disease and then begin to allow it for psychiatric disease, begin to allow it for those who requested it, then those that couldn't request it. And then they started doing to people that didn't want it. And essentially in Europe now, Belgium, Switzerland, Holland in particular, anything goes, and people's lives are taken for any and no reason at all.
That is just shocking, the way it has progressively moved darker and darker. When you say people that don't want it at all, what are you talking about, Dr. Stevens?
For example, someone who comes in and can't give a informed request, that's what first happened to nursing home patients. Doctor came in and thought they'd be better off dead and euthanized them, and that went to court. Not only was he not found guilty, he was given a couple hundred thousand dollars for damage to his reputation in the newspapers. And then doing it for patients that the doctor thinks need it, but the patient has not requested it and really doesn't want it. But so it's happening with everyone. This psychiatric patient, it was a woman that was depressed. The first case in Holland, her husband died. One son had died of cancer. Another committed suicide. She tried, failed to commit suicide. Went to her doctor, and he said, "You're depressed." She says, "I know I'm depressed, but I don't want to live any longer." And he gave her a lethal injection. And and now in Holland, you can actually do it as a minor. They're doing it with newborn babies as well. But it's closer to us than that, Bill. I mean, this has just been found to be a new right in Canada by their Supreme Court. And just last month, they came out with 22 recommendations that are just as liberal on how they're going to handle this in Canada as it's already going on in Europe.
You know, it's stunning to me, and you mentioned several U.S. states, Oregon, California, Vermont, and what was the other?
California, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington is where it's legalized.
Now, we're talking here about, and we should probably differentiate between physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia. They're two different animals, even though they're obviously very much related. Correct me if I'm wrong. Here in the United States, this is actually a patient requesting some kind of medication that will terminate their life. It's not that physicians in Oregon, for example, are saying, "Well, this person's life really isn't worth going on. They're in chronic pain, so we need to put them out of their misery." Am I correct?
Yeah, euthanasia means the doctor actually gives a lethal injection, and physician-assisted suicide, he gives a lethal prescription to the patient. Already in Quebec and in Canada, they're preparing euthanasia kits. Interestingly enough, it's exactly the same drugs that are used to give lethal injections to condemned criminals in the United States for the death penalty. It's a sedative followed by a barbiturate to induce coma, and then a neuromuscular blocker like Curare, which stops the heart, and they give those in sequence, and they're beginning to dispense them in Quebec for doctors. It's going to go to euthanasia in the U.S., Bill. The reason being, studies out of Europe and also the U.S. shows that about 20% of the time when you give the patient pills, they have complications. They throw it up. They don't die. They wake up a day later. or 2 days later. And so in Canada, they've just jumped directly to euthanasia. That's the preferred way of doing it, and we'll end up there as well. What's happening is they're getting the wedge into the door. So let's go with the thing that's most acceptable and then continue to push after we get more states involved. There were attempts, Bill, in 30 states last year to legalize physician-assisted suicide, including the state of Tennessee, which is right here in the middle of the Bible Belt. And I had to give testimony before the State Health and Human Services Committee opposing that just last year.
Now, let's say, Dr. Stevens, you're talking to a non-Christian physician. You didn't even mention your Christian beliefs about the sanctity of human life. You didn't even mention that we have a loving creator who made us in his image. What would you say to him or her about the ethical issues involved with physician-assisted suicide?
I'd say it's dangerous. It's too dangerous to legalize. I mean, I've stood, I'll be honest with you, Bill, I've stood by a patient and prayed God would take them. I mean, you know, we can provide comfort care, but some illnesses are difficult. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous for physicians. It's dangerous because it destroys trust, which is the foundation of the doctor-patient relationship. How can you trust a doctor who can both cure you or kill you? It gives doctors way too much power. They have all the information, not the patient. This isn't about giving patients the right to die. Suicide's not illegal in the United States. It's about giving doctors the right to kill and wrapping the respectability of the health profession around it and making it seem like a good thing. It takes no great skill to take a patient's life. I tell medical students, and I speak on medical school campuses all the time, that if that's all you need to learn, you could come to medical school for a half day. It's the easy way out for dealing with difficult patients. It takes ultimate skill and end-of-life care to provide good end-of-life care that, you know, takes years to learn how to do well. And lethal injection doesn't do that. And it gives physicians way too much power.
Dr. Stevens, why should Christians be particularly concerned about this form of medical intervention? I don't even want to call it medical intervention. I mean, that's probably a misnomer right there.
Yeah, it is. Well, it can affect them, and very quickly, the most dangerous place you could go to be to the doctor's office. It affects families. No family notification is required in any of the states where it's legalized. You could just go to the nursing home to see your mom and find the bed empty and turn to the nurse and say, "Where's mom?" and say, "Oh, didn't they tell you? Doctor helped her kill herself last night." You can imagine the guilt and the anger and the sadness you would have. Did we visit her enough? Didn't she think we loved her? Was she concerned about the money? Anger at the doctor for what he had done? It leads to family dissension. We've seen this in Europe. I sent one of my staff over interviewing families, and, you know, one family member is for dad to do it, and the other one is not. And a Christian family there, and the son said, "I'll never talk to my sister again. She pushed my father into this." It leads to elder abuse. From greedy relatives and tired caregivers, and you can just very quickly give people the idea that this is the right thing to do. I picked up a paper, and there was an interview from an 84-year-old woman in California. She said, "When I started losing my hearing about 3 years ago, it irritated my daughter. She began to question me about financial matters and apparently feels I won't leave much of an estate to her. She became very rude. Then one evening she said, she thought it was okay for older people to commit suicide. So I sit here day after day knowing what I'm expected to do." It's dangerous for patients. The right to die very quickly becomes the duty to die, and especially with our older generation. A few years ago, Bill, my mom's now in assisted living, and when she was getting to that point, I said, "Mom, why don't you move in with us? We'll build an apartment downstairs." And she said to me, "Son, I don't want to be a
burden. Yeah.
And I'll do the noble thing. I'll get out of the way." This is all based on suffering, and suffering is totally subjective. In Canada, you don't have to have a terminal illness. You can have a psychiatric problem. You can just want this, and we're seeing it already in Europe where they're doing it for any reason and no reason because it's based on suffering. And how do you measure that? It's totally subjective. The most common reason people do it is they're depressed. They tend to have been socially isolated. In Oregon, we see that. With very poor support systems and very highly controlling people. I'm going to control the end of my life. I'm going to shake my face in the hand of God, which I don't believe in anyway. And then you put all that into the package of what's happening in healthcare, and the greatest problem in healthcare is it costs too much, and that's why people can't get insurance. Half your cost of healthcare for your whole life will occur in the last year. So you want to solve the problem of high healthcare costs? Let's just slightly encourage people to take this noble step and get out of the way and leave resources for the next generation. So, and then there's the slippery slope, and we've seen it in Europe. We've seen it how fast it's happened in Canada. Once you say there's lives not worthy to be lived, somebody begins deciding everybody that can actually qualify to do that, and it ends up being from early babies that are disabled to the elderly with Alzheimer's, and they've already gone that far in Canada in what they're planning to do.